You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Massive Report, brought to you by 180 Property Development. For their sponsorship of this Massive Report podcast, we greatly appreciate 180 Property Development, remodeling or even building your home from the ground up. That's what they're all about. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next projects. I'm Brian Phillips from CD1025 Radio. Mike Krosky is here. Bart Logan returns after an adventure in Washington, D.C. It seems like you don't want to talk about it.
No, I will not be talking about that.
Okay, good. Well, if you change your mind, let me know. I'm always here for you. But we have a lot to get to anyway. Crew 2, New England nil. And I feel like I could say that louder and with more enthusiasm, but the game left me wanting more. And so I don't know if you guys agree, but maybe we could get into that as well. But let's start by being positive. Let's each think of something positive we can say beyond the scoreline, which is obviously great, 2-0. Can't complain about that. But maybe something that Mike jumped out at you more than anything else that you take away and going, yeah, this is something to build on.
Well, it's really a no-brainer. Zach Steffen had two key plays in the game, the save on the penalty kick, of course, and that beautiful, beautiful bomb of a pass straight on a dime to a on-running Hector Jimenez. I mean, I couldn't throw a ball that accurate, let alone kick one.
Tom
that
Brady
far.
Can't throw him that far anymore in that stadium.
Yeah.
You got to deflate it a bit.
It was a thing of beauty. You are absolutely right. And it when the game was over, I'm like, oh, he's leaving in a few months.
Showed, though, like where Zach Steffen is the complete package. And we saw it a little bit, you know, we've seen it from time to time, but that's one of the more complete performances that he's put in for quite some time. And to see, you know, I feel like in the past, especially with Berhalter, we all know how he loved to have Zach play those short balls out. And there were certain games that, you know, he would play the long game. You saw the opponent. But it didn't look like he really permitted it on a kind of situational basis. And I think that's, you know, one of the differences in contrast with Caleb Porter here, too, where, you know, he gave, whether it's he instructed Zach or just gave him the freedom to make his own call, and to recognize that opportunity there and to kind of, you know, be willing to take that risk and go for that killer instinct, I love seeing it.
Well, I think the big thing is that shows his soccer IQ. Mm-hmm. You know, it shows that he's not just, okay, I'm gonna make a save or collect the ball, whatever it is, and then sit on the ball until the game's over, because there's what 4 minutes to go or so, if my memory serves me right, something like, or no, it's in stoppage time, couple of minutes.
Yeah.
So, but he said no, we're gonna go, and he saw it, went for it. I mean, that's beautiful. I think a lot of times at that stage of a game, a lot of keepers go, let's just sit on the on the lead and go home with 3 points this way. But he said, hey, let's tack on another one. And that's a beautiful thing.
And I want to see more of that, because you're right. In the last several years, I find myself standing up in the stadium and swinging my arms going, okay, let's send it long. I felt like the last few years we were way too predictable and building up with way too deliberately out of the back with that rolled ball or that short pass. Not that there's not a place for it. You don't want to be predictable. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if he has that tool in his tool belt, let him use it. It's at the end of the day, it's not really that high a risk if he's sending the ball over halfway across the park to the other side of the field. What could possibly go wrong? Not really a whole lot. And the ball was perfect. And Hector Jimenez had just walked onto the field too and was ready for it, which is great to see as well, because he's certainly a role player. He has to be ready to go at any time. I'd like to get into a little bit later about how odd it is to see that we're not real anxious to use our bench so far. So we'll get to that. But Bart, grab me one thing that jumped out at you as a positive that you take away from the match beyond the score.
I mean, I think it's got to be Pedro Santos and getting that assist, an absolutely gorgeous ball to set up Giassi Zardes on that first one. And
You know, I'm not willing to say he's vindicated for the lack of production that we've seen from him in his about, you know, two years now, almost going into his second full season. But it was certainly encouraging, and to see that sort of play from the wings, and just, I mean, an absolutely gorgeous ball. And let's hopefully that is a sign of more things to come from Pedro.
Well, you know, one thing with that we've seen early in the season, and counting the preseason as well, with Pedro Santos is, I don't know what it is that Caleb Porter has said or done, mm-hmm. but he's really kicked his game up to a level that we all kind of anticipated when he was first brought on. And, you know, I don't know if it was something as simple as being a competitor and going, if I don't get it together, I'm going to be off of this team. Because mm-hmm. Caleb Porter is very adamant. You know, when he got brought on, one of his first things that he said was, we have to get production from our wings.
Yep.
And that's just part of his system. It's how it's always been with him as a coach. So whatever it is that he said or done is working, and it's great. And if this keeps going consistently throughout the year, we're going to see, I mean, Pedro Santos could be one of the team MVP candidates, quite frankly.
Well, when we talk about the wings, I'm going to get to the guy that I'm sure bugged the heck out of everybody mm-hmm. during the match the other day. We'll get to him here in a second on the opposite side of the pitch. I'm going to be really boring here in what I take away positively from the match was the goose egg on the other side and
sure.
how
yep.
so very organized, almost to the point where it was boring for the New England fans. We had our
there's not very many of those.
We had our spacing together, and our organization in the back to such an extent that I had to think about it. It's like, oh yeah, we're getting back. We're in good position. I can't think of anything defensively to criticize this team for after the 90 plus minutes in the 2-0 win the other night. Or the other day. I can't think of anything that I would criticize him for.
And to see that and still also see the freedom that Caleb Porter is giving Gaston Saro, who's joining the play regularly, it seems like. I mean, to see how strong they've been on that back line and still also being willing to go up there and take chances. And obviously, you know, that's also a testament and to the confidence that Caleb Porter has in Will Trapp and the central midfield pairing. But I think that element that Gaston Saro adds as an offensive threat, not just, you know, in the box on a set piece, but who could become barreling up anytime. And that size and just the defensive mismatch that you have if you're not prepared or planning for that is a really special element.
He was the size of Gronk out there.
Yeah.
And he was a little, I take it back, there is one bit of criticism I have, and that's that goofy penalty kick that he gave up.
That was.
Where he pushed the player to the ground. It was obviously, the arms were extended. I really don't know what he was thinking. The attacking player was not in a dangerous position. I don't know. Maybe I'm not seeing it right, but.
No, you're right there, but it was also, I felt it was a soft call. And this
okay.
isn't me being Mr.
He
Homer
took a
guy.
Dive a little bit.
He definitely made a meal out of it. It wasn't that much of a push, right? But here's the deal. If refs are going to call it, mm-hmm. then players are going to go down. And we can talk about that, another play like that happened in the league when we talk about the scores of
okay.
other games.
Good.
But I don't know. I thought it was soft, but if the refs are going to call it, you can't blame a Ford for doing it.
Well, what a great save. Now, I know that that he kind of telegraphed his penalty kick. That's not the way you coach it, right, Mike?
Oh, my gosh. So this is a pet peeve of mine, okay? Why would players – because to me, a good penalty kick taker could tell the keeper where they're going and still make it.
Uh-huh.
And when you are going across your body that way, the ball has to go essentially – if you're looking at the penalty kick player and the goalkeeper straight ahead to you, the ball has to cross the keeper's path. So if you're right-footed like Fagundes is, why not go to the right? Because the ball has to curve in and away from the keeper and into the goal. The keeper has to extend all the way. Zach extended all the way. He didn't even need to. I mean, it didn't even come close to hitting the inside of the post. So to me, I think if you're a right-footed player, hit it to the right, hit it hard. They're not going to stop it, even if you point and go, this is where I'm going, right? And same thing for a left-footed player on the other side. It amazes me that we see that, it seems like, more often than we don't, that players are going across their body. It's telegraphed perfectly for keepers.
Is it a lost art, the penalty kick taking? It seems like we see more poorly taken penalty mm-hmm. kicks the last few years. Maybe, and I can't statistically back that up, but it seems to me that we see less decisiveness, less power. I like just run up and pound it. Yeah. That's what I like.
Just hit it. It does work some of the time, but a pet peeve of another one of mine is the stutter step. Right, trying
yeah.
to fake.
Oh
the
yeah, well, Ronaldo just ruined that for everybody.
Right, it's one of those things where, again, just hit it. You don't have to play this game. You don't have to look a bunch of different areas trying to fake the keeper out. If you're a world class striker, even a striker at the level of MLS, you should be able to put the ball in the back of the net, no matter who's in goal.
But I do want to give. I think some credit also needs to go to Zach Steffen, who I believe is what like or has made. I think. Penalty kickers are 9 for 14 against him all time. 9 for 15 or 5? 5 for. Wait,
sure
he's got 5
that?
Saves?
No,
he's
five
got 5
goals
saves.
Against.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so penalty yeah. takers are yeah. 9 for 14 yeah. against him. Yeah.
That's a great number.
You have penalty shootouts.
Yeah.
That's why the number is so big.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. But, I mean, how good he's been. I mean, this has been his MO since he came onto the scene for this team and, of course, really cemented it in that Atlanta game in the playoffs in 2017.
And he gets into guys' heads when they have to be thinking about who they're facing when they go up. Uh-oh. You know, I've got to outthink him because he's outthinking me right now. Mm-hmm. He's in their head to the extent where they believe that he knows what they're going to do before they do it.
Well, that's a great thing about a keeper in that situation is you have nothing to lose.
Right.
You're expected to get scored on. All the pressure is on the player, no matter what the score of the game is or what the situation. If the keeper gives up the goal, nobody's going to go, oh, my gosh, the keeper. No, they – how's it going, man? The keeper didn't they don't – What anything they anytime they make a save, it's bonus, right? I mean, that's why in a shootout, if they go, they make one save out of five, they're amazing. They're you know getting a key from the city, that whole thing, right? So,
well, and I think that you know is one of to get to your first point, Brian. Boy, it's going to be really hard when we lose Zach Steffen because what was it the U.S. Open Cup game last year against Chicago that went into those penalties and. Let's just say I think it was Logan Ketter in that place left a little bit to be desired. So, you know, whether it's going to be Bednick, Kempen, or whoever is the heir apparent to Zach Steffen, that's something that, you know, you're just going to have a real hard time replicating.
And that brings up a point. At some juncture during the season, you've got to get some minutes for somebody else. Because on July 31st, Zach Steffen is gone, and are there places in the season here or there, maybe weaker matchups where maybe we can work somebody else in? Would it make any difference? Am I overthinking this?
Yeah, I think so, because it's not like it's guys that are 20 years old as the back. I mean, you know, Bendick's been in the league forever. He started for a couple of seasons
well,
in Orlando.
True.
And,
that's true.
You know, with was it Toronto, if I'm not mistaken? Or was it Portland? It was one of the two.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he's started the equivalent of 3 or 4 seasons. So it's nothing new to him. And, you know, Kempen has had some time as well in his career. So I think it'd be a waste of usage to not play Steffen every game that you have him.
Okay. I get what you're saying. You want to try to bag as many points as you possibly can before he leaves.
Right.
That certainly makes sense. We have to talk about our Justin Meerham problem because it is becoming a problem. I've never met the guy. I feel like I would really like him if I did, so this is not personal.
Right.
But his game on Saturday was atrocious.
One of the things we wrote about in one of the game recaps this weekend at Master Report was he looked defeated.
Yes.
He looked like he was lacking confident. And I found it almost sadly comical. There was a play where he was caught offside and he just decided to strike the ball anyway, even though the play was completely dead, and he still hit the post. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Well, he was pouting.
Yeah, he was definitely
next to the goal.
Absolutely.
At one point. But all the unforced turnovers and then the dribbling into turnovers was absolutely maddening. And I felt like he was left on the field way too long.
Absolutely.
And I don't know what you do because we've seen him have quality, but we've also seen bad Meerham over the last few years. And I think it is a confidence thing. How else can you explain it? Because he's played on the international level. He plays for the Iraqi national team. He's been in big games. He's been in big games with this club. He scored that great goal 9 seconds in against Red Bulls. There are flashes of brilliance with this guy, but there's also just the mental lapses that I saw way more of on Saturday that I thought it was his greatest hits of Justin Miram and all the things that he does that drive you mad all in one game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How do you fix him?
You know, this is going to be one of those things where this could be the first real test for Porter and his staff to what do you do with a player like this? Do you let him play through it? Do you pull him and bring somebody else because it could be a detriment to a team to keep playing him? You know, that's where Porter's going to make his money, I think, here in the beginning of the season because, you know, again, he was very adamant. Wingers have to produce in this system, and he's not producing, and he's not even coming close to producing. So,
well, what did Orlando do to you, Justin? What did they do to you? Mm-hmm. But it's from prior to that even. If you recall that breakout season he had in 2017, you know, where by, you know, the midway point of the season, you've got MLS.com saying, is Justin Miram the best left winger in MLS? He scored, 13 goals or so that season. But I don't know the exact breakdown, but I'm pretty sure he had all of three on the other side of July 4th. So it's been a while since the platonic Justin Miram has actually showed up for Columbus Crew. So, you love Justin Miram for all the other intangibles, but I think you're bringing up a solid point. I think if there's a player that I think really with both of those wingers, but at least Pedro Santos right now, he's getting you some degree of production. And if nothing, he's at least getting fouls and giving you, you know, you've got that. And he tracks back well, too. A decent defensive player. But I think both of those, you know, wingers, maybe it's time for Caleb Porter to, you know, shake things up a little bit. Or at least, especially when you've got Rubinho who's coming on and he's looking impressive, at least in the little bit that we've seen from them. And if nothing else, just to light that competitive fire, I wouldn't mind seeing him shake it up a bit.
And I wonder what he would look like coming off the bench in the 70th minute.
So I should have brought my producer, Mike, but I didn't. But so you're going to have to deal with me anyway. But ever since Justin did not get selected to the All-Star game a couple years in 2017, that really messed with his psyche. He has not been the same since. I think that compounded with the whole move thing and a bunch of other stuff. I think that has really, really affected him. It's almost like, you know, that the talent is there. You've seen the talent. You've seen him score. You've seen him do all this stuff. But it's like, this is the point where you might not need a coach as much as you need a psychiatrist kind of like figure out what happened.
Well, I mean, teams have sports psychologists. I'm assuming the Crew do.
No, that would end up since July of 2017. There you go. 6 goals since July of 2017, right?
Yep. Yeah. Coming up on 2 years.
Yeah.
Not that long.
So you got that. So, you know, but I think it's a very, in some situations, it's the coach says, hey, you know what? I don't think we're getting the production that we need from you right now. So you're going to have to, it's like the healthy scratch in hockey, you know? It's like, and sometimes that unlocks something, or unfortunately sometimes it shuts it down even more. So like you said, this is where Caleb Porter earns his money in figuring out, you know, that the talent is there in Justin Miram. How can you get that talent back out of him as opposed to him kind of dwelling on himself?
Right.
Well, the other side of that is somebody else has to play. If he doesn't, is Rubinho up to a fitness level where he can play most of the match at this point?
Oh my gosh, you would hope so.
I would hope so as well, you
would think so. I mean, you know, he's still a young guy, you know, so it's not like he's take forever to get in the shape. They've been in training for going on 2 months.
Yeah.
So you would hope he's in.
Okay. So we'll eliminate that as a concern.
You would think so.
Do we see this? Do we still see Miram on Saturday against Dallas? You think any changes are imminent?
I don't know. I mean, I would prefer to see Rubinho get a shot at starting, and hey, give him 70 minutes, see what happens, and then bring Miram back in, and maybe that's the kind of perfect mix that we need to see for a little while until Miram kind of gets out of his funk.
I think this is where you come back to the whole, you know, in basketball when they say if you're missing your shots, you got to keep shooting until you.
Sure.
I don't think this is the time that you see Miriam change unless there's some sort of game plan change, in which they throw something completely different. But maybe not. But I think, and this I think will lead to one of your topics, is, you know, this giving Rubinho less 10 minutes or less to do anything on the
right.
wing is almost pointless. And I don't think we've used three substitutions yet
no.
in the game, have
no.
we?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So
absolutely
that's another topic of discussion there.
Well, that's the thing, is that and you guys fill in the blanks. I think we hit on this at least a bit a couple of weeks ago, that Caleb has never been a liberal user of substitutions. And I'm wondering where that philosophy comes from, because it seems so unusual. To me, if you have a roster of players that you have for a reason, and you have these three bullets in your chamber, and you don't use them all, that I'm wondering why that is.
You know, so my thought is with, you know, Caleb talks about all the time how he loves being around the guys, right? Those are his guys. Those are his players. And when you have a set starting 11, or maybe even a one or two off the bench that you mix in the starting 11 every once in a while, depending on whatever, it's easy to just go, this is the group I'm going to battle with, and I'm going to give them, those guys, every opportunity to show me they can make some things happen. And since these first two games have been kind of, regular season games anyway, have been kind of up and down, hit or miss, inconsistent lulls throughout the game, I think this goes to what we were talking about with Miriam. He's trying to give Miriam every possible chance to break out of that funk. So, you know, again, we're only two games in, so let's not act like the sky's falling, right?
No. Oh, I'm not pushing the panic button.
Right.
I'm just, after seeing that performance, I became very concerned that we're heading to a bad place with Miriam, that we're not going to be able to bring him out of this.
It was just the body language.
Yeah.
He seems to be just, you know, trigger shy. That was the one thing with Justin Miriam, you know, of old, that almost to a fault, he is going to get that ball. Of course, he's going to challenge and try to beat two players, you know, with his techers, but he is going to pull the trigger whenever he thinks he's got a chance, that Miriam meat hook. And now it seems like he's just so hesitant to do that. And I'm not sure what it is. I mean, you saw him take, although, you know, I say this, and he did take that one opportunity. I think his only shot on target was a left-footed shot, which you do not see from Justin Miriam, certainly without an extra touch. But, you know, there was nothing behind that. In general, he just, it seemed, since especially he's come back from Orlando, like he's just been just trigger shy. And it's disappointing, because I think that's one of, you know, if anything, it's just something that the other team has to prepare for. And you have to, you know, to have that threat of a guy who's going to get it and he's going to take that shot, even if it's outside of the box, you have to defend accordingly. And suddenly when you take that element of the way out of the game, it just makes you that much more one-dimensional.
Well, and not to pick on him too much, because I saw a lot of hopeful balls that went nowhere.
Oh, definitely.
On Saturday. And I was frustrated with the lack of touches, and it's ironic to say because he got two goals. But Jossie Zardes is not touching the ball enough as far as I'm concerned. And I think they're trying to force him the ball too much. I don't know, because there were a lot of long balls, a lot of easy passes that were turned over as well. I think with a few more games under their belt, that problem can be tightened up to a great extent. It's a long season. I'm not going to sweat about it too much. We're off to a great start. 2-0 win and points in the bag for both of the first two matches. Anything to add? We are going to grade all the players here in a few minutes, which also you can read on themassivereport.com. You can read up and find out if you agree or disagree with the grades given to your favorite players. And certainly we're just four people offering opinions. We're going to add more opinions here in a moment, by the way, on the Massive Report. Anything to add of a general nature that maybe most people wouldn't be thinking about, maybe they missed in the game that jumped out at you guys?
I thought you could really see the difference, and we talked about it on the Massive Report, that you could see the fullbacks getting up in the space. I mean, they, you know, Francis and Offal were pushed up high, and Artur and Trapp were dropping like center backs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool to see, you know, because that really stretches out the field, you know, makes it to where the defense has to occupy space, get away from the 6 and the 18-yard box and really come out, right? And that opens up all kinds of scoring opportunities. So I thought that was awesome. And then I think on top of that, I felt like, you know, you're talking about Zardes. I just think what we're seeing right now is just the difference of what his role is under Porter's system compared to Berhalter. And I think as time goes on, he's going to get more and more touches and he'll be more involved because it's less about kind of playing that target role, and he's got to be in sync with both wingers.
Okay.
Right? And also, of course, Higuain. So I think as time goes on, he'll get more touches. But I'll tell you what, you know, scored 2 goals.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Any day.
Well, and I think of that target role, I mean, especially now with the reintroduction of Waylon Francis, who, if anything, you know, almost again to a fault, he loves to cross that ball into the box every single time. And, you know, more so than King, who, you know, might try to beat you, might, you know, cut in, do whatever he wants to do. Waylon is coming down that left wing side, and whether it's going to be a high cross or low cross, he's going to be sending it in. And, you know, to see, even though, granted, it was the ball from Pedro Santos that he scored on, and then, you know, not Waylon Francis also on the second one from Hector Jimenez, who that was. As much as we should and rightfully do praise Zach Steffen for that play, that was also some impressive work from Hector Jimenez on it. But to see, you know, what Jossie's been able to do with his head, you know, the athleticism that he brings, I think it's going to be good, interesting to see as he gets that service in from Waylon Francis on the left side. You know, what is that? Does that lead to kind of same numbers? Because we saw last year from Jossie, it was, frankly, I didn't think we were going to see that. And I thought that was a testament to Greg Berhalter and Josh Wolf. And to see him producing, you know, getting these 2 goals, that was, you know, comforting for me to see as a fan. And then, of course, just as a fan also, for the sake of being able to do the greatest, one of the best chants, I think, Brian, you might have seen it online, crank up the Cranberries whenever he scores with that header. In your head. Sorry, with his head. Zardes, Zardes. I want it all the time.
Wow.
Cranberry single?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to bring that song to Nordic, I think. Mm-hmm. I think we're on to something here.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Cranberries from Ireland and St. Paddy's weekend is coming. We have a lot more to do here on the Massive Report. We need to hand out our grades after the break. We're going to look around the league. And in segment 3, we're going to preview the upcoming match and tell you how you can win tickets to see your Columbus Crew SC at Moffray Stadium. We're back in a moment. Welcome back to the Massive Report. We are at Hendox, just like we are every Monday. Whether we brought recording equipment with us or not, we'd probably be here. We figured we might as well turn it into a podcast. It is the Massive Report, and we've added Ralph here. Patrick, are you going to speak, or are you just going to play on your computer?
Just kind of here. If you need me, let me know.
All right. Will do. For some context, before we hand out our grades for your Columbus Crew in Saturday's 2-0 win over New England, give me a sense, because New England didn't really impress me that much at all. I didn't feel like I was looking at a bad team necessarily, but perhaps one that will underachieve this season. Just give me a grade on the team real quick to give us some context as to who we were facing. We'll just go around the room.
On paper, I'm going to go, they're a C+.
Okay.
All right.
And on artificial turf?
At the Big Razor, as they call it. I mean, I think a C-, if I'm being kind of generous.
Okay.
I would have to say fart noise.
Wow. Fart noise.
What?
Now, is this a last-place team we're looking at? Or certainly bottom of the table?
I don't think they're going to be a playoff team.
Okay.
No,
fair
enough.
So. Not in the East.
Ralph, anything you saw from New England that would give us a pause as to when we play them again?
I'm not thrilled. They weren't getting really any penetration into the final third, but they were playing a lot on the wings and on the outside, so it just doesn't look like they're dangerous right now. I know that Dwight and Neil were kind of hammering home that heel, I guess, because that's how you pronounce Gill now. heel was their big attacking player. I think, you know, Pania and Bunbury, I think Bunbury needs to be playing the 9 and not, you know, playing at the wings at all. I think he's much more dangerous at the center, occupying the two center backs. I thought they had a better season last year when he was playing nine. But, you know, I just, right now, if you're asking me to grade them, I tend to agree with the C plus, maybe a border. Okay. Maybe a borderline D plus.
All right. Well, my favorite player was Bai because he was almost sent off, and then of course
yeah,
they say bye-bye. They're like, oh wait, he's back. So never mind. All right.
So you said
VAR
hello.
Only works we've, that way, only against the crew to take away a red card.
So
but that was fair.
It was fair. That was not a red card. It was a yellow card, and the right call was made. And I felt like in that instance. Replay was used how it was supposed to be used. So we'll take away from this a game we should have won, and we did. And that's how a long season goes. You got to win the games you're supposed to win.
Well, the big thing, too, is, and I'm a firm believer in karma in this game, and, you know, for every positive one that goes for the opponents, we're going to get one back some point during the year that, you know, is going to be a phantom red card that we're going to get reviewed and we'll get overturned or something like
that. Have you watched the Columbus Crew over these past few seasons?
I'm just trying to stay off.
It's a new era.
This is true.
Positivity is great because I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm jaded or what, but I don't trust refs.
All right. So I'm going to work from the bottom of the list here as far as player grades. We're going to start with the subs. They're like unicorns in this team so far. We don't see them a whole lot. But they certainly made an impact, especially in this case, Hector Jimenez, who was on the pitch all of 4 minutes. Give him a grade.
Hey, for the 4 minutes out there, I'm giving him a 10.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. That touch, perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give him an 8.
Oh, God, here we go again.
What is he supposed to do? Like, what did he do to lose 2 points
did
in a grade?
Did he not do all of his stretching before?
You know, he wasn't doing his scoops. He wasn't getting his scoops properly stretched.
All right, fair enough. Robinho.
You know, I think a 6.
You know. Heavy touch, I noticed a time or two. I'm going to chalk that up to playing on fake grass, which he's probably never done, as the guys pointed out on the telecast.
Yeah, just staying alive. I would say 6-7. I still love just what he brings to the team when he comes on as that sub, that speed.
Energy.
Mm-hmm. I'll go 6.5.
6.5. Ralph, it's a Monday. There's no question about it. Jossie Zardes.
Okay.
Take first.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Let's hear
your grade. For
okay.
Two goals.
So there's a
5.5.
There's a story to this. So I'm a member of the North American Soccer Reporters, and I have to vote on Player of the Week, and that carries 75% of the total vote.
Your vote does,
not
or
mine? No, okay. The collective vote.
Because I was going to say there will be no Player of the Week
and,
this week.
Admittedly, and I'll go on the record and say this: I did what the college football coaches do. And just look at a stat sheet. And I was like, well, okay, yeah. You know, the one game I watched this week was Zardes was great. Okay. And then I saw Vela's name come up plenty of times. So I put Vela as my number two. Well, then I get a slew of text messages from one Patrick Murphy and then the boss Gold Dan. And I guess I was the subject of a text message amongst the massive report higher-ups that they were saying that, you know, hey, you got to diversify and do your research a little more. So I will diversify and do my research. But to stay in the theory or to stay in the realm of weird scorelines, I'll give him a 10.
A 10? Oh, wow. I don't think that's ever been done by Ralph before.
One goal, three assist performance last
night. I would give him a 9.
Oh, okay.
Right. Oh, for Pete's sake.
Some context. Okay, you guys, Zardes?
I have a hard time giving him, you know, I think probably 9, 10. He put in, you know, yes, he didn't touch the ball, but that wasn't – Jossie Zardes didn't touch the ball much last year, and I think that's probably – frankly, to the strength of the team, because Jossie Zardes is his biggest criticism probably before he came to Columbus was that he had a bit of a heavy touch. So maybe, you know, playing to his strengths, which might be just getting one touch in the box and putting it right in the net, is the best thing. So, right. I mean, I thought he did a good job just, you know, his spacing, good timing on his runs. I'll give him a 9 at least.
Should we look at him as a wide receiver? Like Juju Smith-Schuster had some lines this year where it's like 4 catches, 150 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Exactly.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Do it.
All right. That's fine. All right. Zardes?
I'm going to go with 8.5.
All right. 8.5. All right. Let's get it out of the way. We spent a lot of time complaining about him. I feel bad about it because I want him as a fan of the club and as a fan of him as a person and as a player and his whole backstory and everything. But I'm interested to see, just when you guys give it a number, Justin Meerum.
Four.
Four, okay. I get it. I do get it. Ralph, I almost shudder to shudder to think what you're going to give him.
I mean,
Mike gave him a four.
It's tough because he's made no secret about what this club means to him and coming back to Columbus.
I know.
And, you know, to see him struggle, part of me wonders if he's still not 100% back from the ankle surgery that he had in the offseason.
Okay.
That being said, though, he is just not a winger with confidence going forward. Very tentative. I think four's harsh, Mike. I'm going to be honest with you. But, you know, maybe a five. But, yeah, it's – I'll tell you, a swift wind can knock me over to a 4.5 real quick.
No.
I'm going with our friend Guillerme on the Massive Report. I'm going to go with a 6 because, yes, it was definitely not one of Justin Meerum's best performances. But you saw he was – you saw some of the looks there, and, you know, in general, again, it's a game that they won, you know, fairly comfortably, albeit with the whole having to deal with a penalty. But otherwise, I'll give him a 6, and I got a soft spot for J9.
All right, fair enough. I think better days are ahead for him.
Yep.
That was a low point. I think better days are ahead. Pipa.
I'm going to solid, a good solid 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of his off-the-ball runs were really well done on Saturday. Just his vision, too. I think he tried a couple back heels again that, you know, created some space. And he actually combined pretty well with Pedro, which I know is kind of a forbidden.
Faith.
Yeah. I know a lot of folks, I could see my Twitter mentions probably lighting up right now as I say this sentence. But I thought Pipa was great. I'll give him a 7.
I think, 7 sounds pretty good for Pipa.
Right, here we go. All together, guys.
Santos. The aforementioned Santos. I just like to say Santos.
I'm going to go 7.5. He put in great ball, gave good work.
It was lovely.
Mm-hmm. And
it's my favorite kind of cross.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That bending, whipping ball right off over the head.
He took a graze of the elbow. From bye, so you know,
bye.
And he made a whole shtick of it.
Yep. Well, he will do that.
I'm gonna go 6.5, and here's why. I liked what he was doing, dropping into the midfield. I made a comment on this in our game thread, which everybody should take part in every time that they, you know, there's a game. But I made a comment about this that, you know, he was dropping real kind of deep into the midfield, kind of tucking in behind. Zardes and Higuain was kind of pushing up as a second striker too, but he did really well to kind of track back and get those balls forward, which I thought he did a really nice job. You know, it was an above average game, especially for him. And the thing that I think the fans don't understand is he does a lot of the little things that don't show up on the scoreline. And everybody thinks that the money associated with him needs to turn into goals and translate into goals. Well, you know, these fouls, these restarts, he does a lot of the little things that, you know, will lead to goals, and those aren't always in the stat sheet. So I think this is the quintessential Pedro Santos game, and if we can string more of these together, I like to think that the black and gold are going to be in a pretty good spot going forward.
Okay.
I think for, you know, those reasons, I give him like an 8.5, and also maybe it's I'm grading on the Pedro Sanch curve, which has been very, very disappointing. So maybe I'm just comparing it to his other performances, which have been such a letdown. And this one, you know, you finally see the glimpses. And I mean, absolutely everything you thought you were paying for with that cross. But to at least get some offensive production, to, you know, draw some fouls without. You know, not necessarily. He's got this propensity to go down and then
flop.
Flop and flop like in their attacking half while the other team, you know, New England or whomever it is carrying the ball up the other way, and Pipa's got to go up to him and be like, yo, get up. We've got to hurry back and trap back. So you didn't see that as much from him. Did, you know, get actually fouled a couple times and, you know, good on him. I'd say 8.5 for him.
All right. Well, I think that we're seeing a player that could benefit more from the coaching change than anyone else on the team, really.
Absolutely.
And it's his to take. He can grab it and run with it, and so far, pretty good. All right, the captain, Will Trapp.
I'll say a good 7.5.
I thought it was a pretty pedestrian performance for him. You know, it was... Hi, Mike.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll chime in a minute.
No, I mean, it didn't leave me with any memorable moments at all or anything like that. I just think he did his job. I think it's a 6.
I will just say, I think you again, have a clean sheet and complete 101 passes as your, you know, your defensive midfielder, your captain, where he has to drop back and, you know, what he played. I give him an 8.
All right, so the reason why I put my hand up a moment ago, Ralph, was because I felt like with the role that Trapp was given in this game in particular, and it seems might be par for the course with Porter, is because the stuff that he does isn't going to show up, not only on the stat sheet, but it doesn't really show up to a casual fan. I'm not saying you're that, of course.
No. I get you.
So I think he held the center of the field well. He dropped back and was tough, playing kind of like a center back role when the outside backs would push up. Those are the kind of things, like we talked about last week, I think I used the same analogy, but you don't notice offensive linemen in football until they screw up.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that the kind of role that he's doing right now is that.
He's kind of a banger. 2 yellow cards in a row. Huh?
Yeah.
That's what I want for my holding mid.
Well, and now that you say that, too, thinking about it, you know, as I replay a few moments from the game, I can remember him dropping back and protecting the back line. So I think I'll bump it up. I'll bump it up.
No,
to a 7.
Coward, stick with it.
No, I'll be honest with you. No, it's just
calculating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got to calibrate every once in a while. You know, or what was the line in The Sims? They were like, you know, I can't think of it. Something silly, but regardless.
I just gave Ralph a sales pitch.
The RPS, the Ralph positioning system, is recalibrating.
Yeah, we're recalibrating. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that. And now that you brought up those points, I tend to agree, which I know is not great radio. We should argue and be at each other's necks constantly. But, you know, hey.
Ralph, you're a fool.
I'll argue with you.
All right, another fun name to say, Artur.
You know, I think similar to Will Trapp. I mean, he played essentially the same kind of role, dropping back quite a bit, connecting passes. I don't think he was quite as stout as Trapp's, but I'd still give him a 7.
I love our holding midfielders. I really do. You know, thinking about it too, you know, taking the previous Will Trapp conversation into consideration, I think a 7. I think Artur and Trapp are very much kind of the good cop, bad cop, the emotional leaders of the team, where, you know, Trapp's kind of a little more reserved, and you'll see Artur get up, get kind of excited and kind of popped up about whatever's going on the field, and sometimes restraining people.
I think he's starting to rub off on Will a little.
Yeah.
Will's got a little bit of an edge to him.
Getting that South American fury right there, that Brazilian fury.
I like it.
I'm giving Artur a 7, too. We'll keep it clean across this. I think you guys covered it. You know, there are a couple turnovers, nothing that costs you. But anytime, you know, with the amount of ground he covers for this team and the amount of, you know, time the ball spends on his foot, those are going to happen. And You can't turn the ball over unless you're possessing it, and that's always a good sign too.
Waylon,
that's fun to say too.
It is. This is the all-star team.
You saved this part for the last, right? The last 3.
Waylon.
6. I'll go 6.5. I felt like, you know, him getting more into the attack is good, but we didn't see quite the, you know, the balls that we know he's accustomed to sending into the box, things like that. But solid, good 6.5.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was doing well. There weren't really any particular areas that I think, you know, he lost the ball in a dangerous area and had a really nice counterattack at all or anything. I think he did really well. I'll go 7. I'll conform.
Yeah, 7's fine on me. You know, he had a couple of good clearances. Didn't seem like he was as involved as he was the previous week in the attacking game. And the previous week, none of his crosses were connecting. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Caleb Porter's, you know, more willing to push him and King Harrison up next week or this weekend, I guess. But definitely a 7 for Waylon.
Gaston.
Look, I am not going to take away points for that PK because I thought that was the ref's fault, not his. I thought it was very soft, so I'm going to go 7.5.
knowing your background, Mike, I'm kind of curious because the interpretation of a referee is if you impede the scoring opportunity of an attacker, right? So you get into that. I get it. I agree with it that it's soft, though. But to defend Dave Ganter, I think it was kind of a legitimate penalty call, but I think it was tough.
I felt like from the eye, he left him no choice because he extended his arms.
Yeah.
The player wasn't even in a dangerous spot, and that's what kind of stuck in my craw was, why are you extending your – just play position. You've got him in a good spot. He's not in a dangerous place in the area. Just body up. You don't have to extend your arms. It was kind of a lazy play as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, I can go with that. I think this could be my jaded view of referees from coaching and such. I just don't have any sympathy whatsoever for them. I really don't. And I have a real distaste for players that dive and embellish. And I felt like who was it that did that for them? Zabino or something?
Zabino, 27 or whatever.
Whatever it was. He clearly embellished and made a huge meal out of nothing. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority when it comes to I want guys to play through, and I really just can't stand refs, so I'm never on their side.
Well, so you're giving the refs the zero.
Zero. Oh, yeah. Zero. Always. Right. Never good.
Oh, well, maybe the fact I'm going through my certification right now, too. Maybe I'm trying to sympathize a little more.
Oh,
with
no,
them, but
for reffing? Oh, yeah. Good. I can't wait to scream at you on Sunfield. I can't wait.
But
good for you, because as a longtime youth soccer parent, the hardest thing that they have is to find officials.
Yeah. Hey.
And good on you for getting out there.
You know what? I will say, that's why when I want to lose my mind, I don't, because I know it's hard to find good refs. And I've moved around a lot. I remember when I was in Eugene, Oregon.
Is that why you moved?
Yeah, because I was running away from refs because I screamed at them too much.
The restraining orders.
We can't find anybody to work your games anymore, Mike. You're going to have to move on. That's
it. Yeah, well,
it's not you. It's us. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
You know, I was hoping that word wouldn't spread all the way out here, but apparently it did. But, you know, I mean, I remember there were times they would have to reschedule games because there just weren't enough refs. So I get it.
Yeah.
So I am thankful for those of you who do that, I guess. But, man, they are.
Thank you.
Ugh.
I hate them all. So getting back on track, yes, though. So, you know, I think it's one of those things, you know, we look at those big hits in the NFL and they slow it down to, you know, negative 1,000 speed, and you sit back and you're like, that dude got his clock clean, and it looks 1,000 times worse than it does in slow motion than it does in real time. I think that's kind of one of those things that, you know, we had the benefit of looking at it super slow, and we're like, oh, it looks terrible. But you got to think, in lifetime, as a referee coming back, trailing back, I know he's got the AR there too, but his
exactly.
views
exactly. Likely. If only they had some sort of video assistant who they could review it with. But I don't know.
I did set myself up for that one.
Fair enough.
But, you know, I think, you know, the AR's view was obstructed. Obviously, the center official's view is
obstructed. Well,
here's
the thing.
Didn't
they say it was Alan Kelly that was the VAR?
Yeah.
I think he's the best ref in the league, and he still got it wrong.
Why is he watching TV?
Especially with Geiger show gone, and, you know, Ted Uncle's not there, too. Yeah. But anyway, back to it. I think Gaston had a good game.
Other than that,
penalty kill be damned. I think it was, you know,
penalty
probably
kill.
Or penalty.
Hockey.
Penalty. Blue Jackets are off. I get the Blue Jacket reflection in the back. PK be damned, but I think it was about a six and a half, rather. I'm sorry.
9 for Gaston Saro. That PK was BS, and he is. We must protect him at all costs. Gaston Saro is a treasure.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
It is fun when he gets forward. There was one point in the game where I was still surprised to see him. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, all right.
Where's Stanek when we need him?
He's
going to
score a screamer this year. Gaston's going to score a screamer at some point this year.
You think so?
He's going to just roof one.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Well, right now he is second on the team in scoring, so let's not forget that.
Well, that's been a trend for this team. The center backs are the only ones that scored outside of Giassi, Zardes, and Pipa last year. So
in keeping with team tradition under the new leadership. Jonathan.
You know, same kind of thing. If you don't notice him, a center back, that's a good thing. So I'll go 7.5. He didn't do a whole lot of anything that caught your eye, which means he did his job.
I liked his ability to win second balls, kind of clear it out of the attacking third for New England. So, yeah, I'll give him a 7.
I'm going to give him a 10 because
to your point, but also he or to your point, Brian, there, because he also completed, I think, had the highest passing completion rate for the team. And again, makes no mistakes, doesn't cost you, mm-hmm. and he's just been such a force to be reckoned with for this team on the back end. I know, like, usually to get a 10 if you're a center back, you have to head in two goals or have, like, three assists. But he played well, didn't make mistakes, and, you know, distributed the ball very well. So I'm going to give it a 10.
He always seems to be in the right place at the right time, too. And that's an important part of the job. Especially if you've got Sorrow as dreams of goal glory,
exactly.
somebody's gotta stay back home and do the work back there. All right, and finally, our goalie Stefan.
Wait, did we talk about awful?
Oh, no. We did not.
Yeah, tens for Zach.
You're right. Harrison awful, and then we'll get to the goal.
You know, similar to Francis. You know, 6.5, 7. Did what he's supposed to do. Nothing overly. Amazing or nothing overly bad. Pushed up the field. That's what you want to see in that role.
Yeah, I'll give him. There were a couple times he lost possession. I think Pania countered in the first half. I mean, I'll call him 6. You know, it didn't cost him at all or anything like that. Could have, but it didn't.
I'll give him. Yeah, I would say a 6, 6.5. You can just. You're used to seeing a little bit, and it might have been by design from Caleb Porter, but you're used to seeing King really push up and get a lot more involved offensively, and it just wasn't there in that, you know, it wasn't a detriment for the team, certainly, but I like to see him involved in the play. I think it just adds something that other teams really have a hard time dealing with, especially a pretty weak New England team. So I'll go with a 6 for King.
And finally, our goalie. I mean, I can't find anything to complain about.
Here's the deal.
Ralph can, but.
I'm not a guy who gives out 10s, but I'm giving a 10 here. He had an assist, a PK save, a shutout. He was screaming at his back line and the refs. That's all I need.
Yeah, that was a damn good game. You know, he proved every little bit of his money that, you know, Manchester City paid for him this summer. It's going to be tough when the big guy moves on, but, yeah, 10.
Oh, yeah, 10. No doubt.
Is that sort of the soccer version of the Gordie Howe hat trick?
Yeah, goal, that's a good point.
The assist, the fight.
No, it's the Tony Chani hat
that's
trick,
what
which is a goal, a card, and an assist.
Yeah, sure. There you go. All right, but it was. I'm going to miss him so much.
No,
and
he's not.
Man City. It'll be. I was talking to my daughter about this the other day. I'm really fascinated to see how much he plays, because so often guys go over there and they kind of get lost. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that this is a rewarding experience for him, because I want to turn on NBC on a Saturday or a Sunday. He's going anyway, and I'd like to see him be the number one guy there and really shine. I think he has it in him, but you know, that's a complicated world. That's a whole other world over there. So it'll be exciting to watch, but man, I just try not to think about it too much, because it's coming pretty fast, and we're definitely going to miss him. No question about it. But we got him next week.
You won't miss him too much, because he's going to be the starting keeper for the national team. So we'll get to see him plenty.
That's true.
And the thing, too, is if you think about it, that game that they played against France in the send-off, he played against the world champions and held them to a draw.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the likes of Pogba, Griezmann. I'm trying to think of who other ones. Maybe I don't know who else was on the squad during that time, but, you know, it was a great great squad that they played against.
Absolutely.
The last player I had a feeling about this about was Brian McBride. Mm-hmm. You know, we all love Brian so much.
Absolutely.
We all knew what top level talent he was, and it was sad to see him go, but we knew why he went, and it was like we were sending him out into the world, much like Greg Berhalter as well. You know, it's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
To see players, coaches drawn from this program and go out into the world and show what we have here in Columbus, Ohio. I'm proud of him. I'm going to enjoy every moment of watching him play this year while we have him. And we'll have him again next week at home against Dallas. We're going to preview that game here in a moment. We're also going to race through the scoreboard if you guys have any thoughts about any games you might have seen this weekend.
Oh boy,
do we'll just
I.
tick them off real quick, and we'll get to a preview as well as we continue on the Massive Report in a moment. Welcome back to the Massive Report at Hen Docs. Bart, I guess you have to leave, but before you do, you got to get a plug in, huh?
That's right. We are in segment 3. And segment 3
is brought to you by the Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls Supporters Group / Lifestyle Brand. Up the lads like they've never been up before with their new limited run ultra sexy GCG bag t-shirt. This charcoal gray crew neck with GCG bag emblazoned in stylish block letters is a must have for all rough lads and rough lasses. The GCGT is only available for a limited time. All orders must be placed by March 17th. Blame Don Garber. Go to gcgbag.com/shop to order yours today. You can also follow the G-Bag on Twitter at gcgbag96. The Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls, the best place to go at Mega Tailgate, definitely not failing, and official sponsors of the Massive Report.
I feel like we're on the prices right there. Should we give an actual retail value?
That was the best read-through you've ever done on this show.
It was awesome, Bart.
Thank you, and I'm going out on top.
All right, so adios. Bart's going to a rock show. He's going to see Lucy Dacus, which I highly recommend. Next time she comes to town, she is excellent. You will have fun. Ask her about her dog, okay? All right.
Ta-ta.
Don't do it on stage. Don't get up on stage and ask her about it.
Yeah, CSC will get you. They don't
let her do her performance first. She'll gladly sell you a T-shirt or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go through the scores real quick. I'm going to save the Dallas game for last. And if you have nothing to say, just move along. And if you do have something to say, then, say it. Houston 2, Montreal 1.
Nothing. I got nothing.
RSL 1, Vancouver 0.
Okay, this is the game I do have.
That was a fun one.
That Corey Baird play.
That
was infuriating. Okay, we're talking about my disdain for refs earlier.
Yep.
Okay, this is what I'm talking about. He didn't even get touched. They then go to VAR and they still call it a penalty. I don't understand. Are they all blind?
What is the criteria for going to video review? And hello, Patrick.
It's got to be a clear. Their definition phrasing is a clear and obvious error.
Does that come from on high? Is that what does that, someone call him on the head? The
so earpiece? the center official makes the initial call. If he's not comfortable, he'll do the little ear hand to his ear check.
I can't hear.
Yeah, and that's the VAR talking at him. They'll start conversing, basically going, hey, you should look at this. You shouldn't look at this. Then they'll go do the square thing. Then he'll stick his head at
the monitor. I love the square thing, by the way.
They'll do the square thing, which, by the way, you're supposed to get a yellow card for if you do it. Have yet to see that
really?
Actually get.
If you ask for it, you're supposed to automatically.
If you do it mockingly, could that be a red card if you're mocking?
No, it's a yellow. It's a yellow. It's a caution for unsporting behavior.
Oh,
but,
interesting.
But. So then they'll go in there, they'll take a look, he'll come back out, he'll go do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and then do the square thing and then, talk about his rolling or whatever.
I can only assume, Ralph, that the main reason why you're doing this referee course, because you just want to be able to do the square movement.
Who doesn't?
But
they don't have that in U6.
Yeah, I was saying youth and high school and stuff, they don't have that. I don't know if you're aware, but there's no VAR.
I'll take video by myself.
He's going to work his way up to the top.
Hey, do any parents up there have any video of that last
These
play?
High schools take tape.
Let me take a look. Let me
borrow your phone.
I need one phone from each team.
That's awesome.
I think it should be noted that MLS has made a mockery of VAR.
Yes.
Like the World Cup went great. Champions League, for the most part, it's done well. But MLS has plays like this one, the crew game this weekend, where it's just like, I don't know what they're looking at. Like, I imagine that they go over to that screen and see a completely different play than what they're showing on the field.
Cartoons?
Yeah. Watching dogs chase each other.
When we were at Charleston, I went over to the VAR because we were down on the field beforehand, and I went over to the screen to make sure it actually turned on, and it did. Fortunately, it wasn't needed in that game. But, yeah, it's... For whatever reason, MLS officials just can't get this right, even upon second review.
Here is the deal. This is the easiest thing in the history of soccer to clean up. I loathe diving. I think it's an embarrassment to the sport. The fact that it is, some people think it's okay, and I don't. I think it needs to go. The Corey Baird thing is exactly what I'm talking about. He should be fined. He should absolutely be fined.
Here's an idea. Find the refs, too, when they get these calls
absolutely.
Wrong.
Absolutely.
Like, you could start punishing everybody
absolutely.
So that... everybody is a part of it.
MLS will never do that, though, because that admits that they're wrong. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Also, I'm not sure how much these refs get made, so maybe finding them is a bad idea.
Well, okay, so to me, it's an another layer of it would be, if you want to clean this up and get it out of the sport, start finding teams when players are doing it multiple times in a season. Because if you start finding teams, owners are going to be like, get it together.
There's no reason why they can't go back. And, you know, in football they do this. In hockey they do this. When there's a dirty hit, and maybe it's not necessarily the penalty isn't given at the time even, they'll go back and they'll look at it and go, oh, that's a $25,000 fine.
Yeah.
There's no reason why you can't do that at diving. There's no reason.
Absolutely. It's MLS. Fine them $750.
Minnesota 3, San Jose nothing. Anything?
Can we talk about Minnesota United's like impressive start right now?
Like, I think Adrian Heath is legit.
Like, this is.
They stunk last year.
They did.
But Adrian Heath knows
what
he's doing.
I had to talk to him after their last game at the Crew game because I covered it for MLS Soccer. Uh-huh. And he was just like depressed, and it was just a guy on the verge of losing his job. So I imagine this offseason was pretty let's figure this out for him.
Yeah, I mean, he knows what he's doing. I like him a lot, and I thought that was a big coup for Minnesota to get him, quite frankly. And yeah, they struggled last year, but you know, you stay par for the course with that guy, and I think you're going to get some wins.
Well, and starting 2-0 on the road in MLS is, you know, it's only two games, as right. I told Patrick this morning, but it's, you know, two wins on the road is more than some teams get all
season.
In
a season, yeah. Like, I think last year, Colorado may have won two all year on the road.
Well, we're getting to them right now. Seattle 2, Colorado nothing.
Oh, I didn't see a whole lot of that.
Kai Kamara lost the game? Oh.
Is that where he is now?
Yeah.
I lose track of that guy.
Yeah, I know.
Is he going to play for every team?
Absolutely.
They keep adding teams. It's going to be more difficult for him to play.
Can we rewind for a second? And by the way, I predicted that he was technically a member for FC Cincinnati for like 20 seconds. But anyway, Darwin Quintero for Minnesota, mm-hmm. That dude's come out of nowhere. He is just lighting it up right now. And he's in the discussion for not the Golden Boot because it's way too early, but he's one of the leading scorers in the league. So
sure.
Definitely somebody you need to watch going forward.
Absolutely.
Sunday's action, action in quotes here, NYCFC 0, DC United 0.
I was taking a nap when that
came.
I saw Grover was on the sideline of NYCFC.
I did see that.
And thought it was the greatest thing ever.
They actually had the puppet Grover.
Like Sesame Street we're
yeah,
talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. He was at the game.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
This was at New York City, I imagine?
100%.
Yeah. We're sure that sounds wasn't right. The Philadelphia Flyers mascot?
That wasn't Gritty. Gritty is legendary. Gritty? Yeah. That was Grover.
All right. Sporting 2 and Philadelphia nothing. Another bad start for the Union.
I mean, it's like the sun sets and the sun rises. Right.
Right. Sporting making a little news today, signing Gideon, how do you say that dude's last name?
Zalam.
He was the big prize of Jurgen Klinsmann's old regime there, that he was the big Arsenal youth prospect, but he's going to be joining MLS now. So.
He's had a slew of injuries over the last, 3 years probably?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's still young. Was he 23?
He's not very old.
No, 22, I think maybe? 22, I think.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, he's a youngster.
He's, it's good. And, I mean, Peter Vermes, you can't get a much better coach than that in MLS, that's for sure.
LA 4, Portland 1.
Okay. All right, here
Ralph,
we go.
You want to talk about Carlos Vela?
Let's get to
that.
I actually did
watch the game today now.
Continue on to my soapbox. Did we see the Diego Rossi thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He got flicked in the ear
by Diego Chara.
Yeah.
Oh, like Diego on Diego violence.
Like what your brother used to do to you? Just flick you in the ear?
Just flicked him in the ear. He goes down like he got shot in the back.
Oh.
And how
that
is that?
Hurts.
Oh my God!
That hurts.
That's like a kidney punch for the head.
How, as just like a pro athlete, do you not go, I'm better than this?
Did it work?
It did. That's the problem. Oh. That's the thing.
This that's why we go back. This is a secular conversation.
Yeah. Why I don't like people like Ralph that are refs.
Yeah, I
I'm
do.
Not official yet.
I have a soccer game here in a little bit, and I guarantee you, I will leave angry at Ralph, said referee.
Ralph is thinking about quitting at this point.
Well, and here's the thing too. If you guys want some good entertainment, go to MLSsoccer.com. They've got the most awkward red cards. I think one was like a towel snap at somebody. Like they were doing the locker room, like towel snap at somebody or something like
that's
that.
New.
It was, yeah, it was interesting. I don't know what year it happened, but getting back to Carlos Vela, he's very good at soccer and sports ball and does, you know, a lot of
LAFC might be the real deal.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously they were good last year, but this team, and I've watched both their games. They looked very good.
And you know why? Because they got an ESPN Plus documentary.
Gotcha. Yeah. They have a lot of things.
Yeah.
Well, it's what money does.
Bob Bradley.
Bob Kraft?
That guy. No. Bob Bob Bradley, I think he is underappreciated as an American coach. I really do. I mean, because he can tear this league apart. Obviously, he got the short end of the stick at Swansea, you know, being there for like 9 minutes and then getting fired. And I thought he did okay with the national team. But I'll tell you, in MLS, he knows how to make it happen. I mean, we saw what he did with the Fire when they got brought on. They won the cup in their first year. LAFC was legit last year, and they're looking very legit this year.
You forgot about the Red Bulls. He was at the Red Bulls.
Metro Stars.
No, he's with the Metro Stars.
Well, whatever. Yeah. But, all places with money, though, I'd like to point out.
Well, here's one for you. Cincinnati won. Atlanta won.
Yeah. Holy crap.
That was a fun game.
That Atlanta under how do you say the dude's last name? DeBoer? Save me? Somebody? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, under DeBoer, this Atlanta team looks completely different. Martinez looks completely lost without Almiron.
Mm-hmm. Scored.
I should say, well, yeah, he still scored, but it was 5 minutes in, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, okay, here comes the, you know, I for one thought that Atlanta was going to put a touchdown on Cincinnati for sure, but, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, okay, they're going to have Spencer Ritchie. It's going to be a nightmare, but the offense looked anemic. Cincinnati looked really good, and wouldn't you know it, almost at the death, Lama, that's just fun to say, Roland Lama, the guy that got the red card and got yelled at by Caleb Porter down in Charleston, scores the equalizer for FC Cincinnati, and wouldn't you know it, they got their first point in MLS, and from what I've been told from my good friends in the Queen City, they celebrated like they won the MLS championship last night.
That's unfortunate that they're doing that after a point, but I thought they were really good, you know. And I don't know what exactly is going on in Atlanta, other than they're clearly playing a different style than they have the last two years under Martino. So it's going to take time to adjust. What I think the biggest concern there is, because you just saw it, is that becoming Toronto of last year, having to deal with the Champions League, having to deal with success, and you know, does that affect you? And I think right now it's just a changing of coaches and mm-hmm. styles that they'll get figured out. I think they're far too talented not to, but I said the same thing about Toronto last year, and that was with the same coach and mostly the same players. But credit Cincinnati, Kakuta Mane, who Taylor Twellman does not know how to pronounce his name, despite him being in the league for a long time. I thought he looked really good.
Are they going to be on national TV every week?
They're on next week,
yeah,
too.
Are they really?
Yeah.
What is the deal with that?
Yeah.
It's a big market.
It's Donnie's shiny new toy.
No, he means Cincinnati.
Oh,
Lord.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is the board doesn't have his players in there yet. He's still playing majorly with Tata's guys. Yeah. And you cannot tell me that Breck Shea is his answer at left back.
Breck Shea was his guy, actually.
But Breck Shea's not good.
Look, here's the thing. Every year, and I can't remember if I actually said this last night or last week or just thought it, but every year, MLS has a worst to first and a first to worst.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yep.
And I mean, not
that's actually a really good point.
It's
what's
it's,
John Garber going to say about the attendance in September if it happens this time?
That's great.
Because that's like his go-to.
Right.
Don Garber's attendance porn on Twitter.
That's a good.
That's going to be the new parody account that starts up tomorrow.
Yeah, keep an eye on that. All right.
I'm not saying that necessarily this means Atlanta's going to be that team. But, I mean, it's looking like it.
I'm pulling for it.
And, yeah. And so I was thinking when it comes to each conference, worst, Colorado, they're going to make the playoffs this year. And I think Chicago is going to find their way to the playoffs in the East.
Ooh, Chicago hasn't looked good.
Colorado's play, too, dude.
I mean, seven teams make the playoffs in the East, so.
All right.
You can just throw things in a wall and probably get it.
All right, FC Dallas 2, LA Galaxy nothing. Let's segue from that into a preview of FC Dallas and Columbus Crew FC, 2 p.m., Mapfre Stadium this coming Saturday night. Now, we get a team that we only see once a year and only once every other year here, and I feel like all these teams, and especially in places like Dallas and Houston, unlike Seattle and Portland, where maybe you follow them a bit more on TV, that they're sort of like a blank slate. What do we know about
them? Well, here's the thing. Hold on. If we can rewind real quick, because I know somebody on this panel is going to want to slam them, is Zlatan talked all this trash about going to play Dallas and doesn't even show up for the game. So
did you guys see the the little fake political ad
yes,
that Dallas made?
Yes, that was hilarious.
That was hilarious. MLS banter right now is top tier. I think last year we started and hit stride when LA came out with that diving video from Diego Chara that they remixed, and he was, you know, flipping through the universe and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that. But I think MLS banter right now on Twitter is top notch.
But I heard he was injured. Is that not?
I believe he was. Yeah, I think
Achilles
it was. Yeah.
Flare up of some sort. Okay.
Yeah, you know, because he's old. So the thing is,
great hair though.
Magisterial hair.
Amazing hair.
But you know, it's great hair. But the thing is I hope he comes to Columbus personally. I would love to see him walk past me. That would be great. But you know, I don't think it's.
We're gonna have someone else do that game because I think you'll fan out too much.
Okay, but
Sam, you're on your own for that one.
The thing is, you know. I don't think he's going to be making these trips to turf games. I don't think he's going to be doing it because he's going to get these Achilles flare-ups. And I can guarantee you that Zlatan, being world travel, being in Italy, Spain, and everything like that, has never played. Well, I'm not going to say never, but likely will not play
on
turf.
He's not going to play in New England, there's no doubt, because that's crummy turf on top of that.
And he's not going to make the trip either.
Yeah. What are Seattle? Who knows?
Cincinnati.
He's already played in Seattle, I think.
Oh, has he?
I think he did last year.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see Zlatan's relationship with Guillermo. That's all I want to say. I could care less at how LA does, but I want to see what that relationship of Zlatan and then Guillermo and how that even works.
Well, like, Guillermo's better than he is, but you know.
Well, but and also, you know, the other part of this is Guillermo's, like, LA has looked okay so far. This is my fear of having Guillermo coach the crew in MLS.
Remember when we were previewing the FC Dallas here?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we were. Let's get to that. All right.
Sorry, I got caught.
Give me what you got on FC Dallas. They're like a big blank slate to me.
Gosh.
New coach?
Oh, yeah. Lucio Gonzalez, right?
Yeah.
Did he
was there academy
for the crew at some point? Or was he a draft pick of the crew or something?
No, there was a Lucci. You are correct. Okay. But, no, different guy, I believe.
They tied New England.
Pardon?
They did. I watched that game. Yeah. New England just pressed them and eventually got a goal out of it.
Oh, yeah, they did. And that goal was porous.
Yeah, I assume Dallas will be good. I think, I didn't see this game because
it's
going to
be cold up here.
Yeah.
That could make a difference.
For sure. But, yeah, it just doesn't look like they've found it yet. Maybe a little bit like we were talking about with Atlanta, with a new coach and a new system. Oscar Parejo was there for so long and had such a specific way they played. I think it might take a little bit of time for them to figure things out. You know, and it still might with the crew, too. I mean, we saw the first week and then, you know, obviously this past week. But, Dallas is a team that I think you're probably playing them at the right time, playing them this early.
Absolutely. And, you know, but here's the deal. I mean, it's two teams still trying to figure themselves out, right? So, I'm hoping with the crew that maybe this will be the breakout game for Marum. You know, because, again, Dallas is still figuring themselves out. They're not a potentially amazing roster on top of that. You know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that something like that happens because we could really use him. Because I prefer, my preference is to have Urbino be like a super sub.
Right.
Right? And keep Miriam out there. But, you know, because we haven't had a really great super sub since Pete Marino back in like 98.
Wow.
Jeff Cunningham was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's true. That's a good point.
The one thing I do think with Dallas is their wingers could be a problem because they've done it every time they've come to Columbus, as long as I can remember. They'll counter, they'll look, sit back, they'll let Columbus possess, and a lot of teams do this, but they can counter with speed the other way, and if you can catch those fullbacks out, you know, that's where, I believe the last time they came to Columbus, it was a 1-0 game, and they scored off of a counter with one of the wingers. So that's the concern for me if you're the crew is you know, balance of pushing forward, but also being aware of that counterattack that Dallas likes to do.
Yeah, I mean, Barrios and I think it's Mosquera. I think, did they get him from
Vancouver?
Vancouver, yeah. I mean, they're both very talented, and I like to think, you know, what Pat's saying there is very, very accurate. And, you know, these guys, this whole team is built with youth. I mean, that was the big thing, and that's where Lucci comes from. I believe he was in the academy system with FC Dallas. But, you know, if you look at it, I want to say the oldest players on the roster are, you know, the most tenured are going to be Matt Hedges and Ryan Hollingshead, I think, are probably the two most tenured players on the roster. Maybe Dominic Baggi has him, but, I mean, he just came there last year in exchange for Kellen Acosta. Which is funny because I remember having that conversation with Murph. We were standing next to Berhalter and going, really? FC Dallas is looking at Baji, and Berhalter was quite smitten with Baji there for the trade, at least for that team, how it made up for that team. But it could be an interesting one. I like what I see with the Crew right now, too, and them hitting their stride. And it'll be interesting to see if Dallas hits their stride, too. But like you guys said, these guys are used to playing in warmer weather. It's going to be colder than normal. It's going to still be a nice day by Ohio standards. But for these guys, it's going to be a little bit colder. It'll be interesting to see how they move a little bit.
Well, the three guys up top for Dallas, they can fly, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing. They will have to be mindful. But, you know, if the Crew do similarly to what they did against New England with keeping Trapp and Artur back, I don't think it'll be a huge problem.
All right. Mm-hmm. Do we see the same 11 going into this one as we did last week, the week before?
Okay. I think Porter's pretty set on that group.
I think Miram sits.
Ooh. You think so?
Yeah. Hot take.
I think Miram sits. I think you get
your you
first
look on that?
Huh?
You want to bet on that?
No, because I know what you know.
All right.
So
I think I still owe you Chipotle or something.
You do, and I'm not going to.
I have a feeling there are a whole ledger of bets here that have not paid off. So let's get on that.
A lot of weird stuff happened in Charleston.
All right, very quickly, because we have to wrap this up. Hendox is going to close down pretty soon, I think. We've been here so long. How, Sam? We're running a little long, aren't we? Are we running too long, Sam? No? All right, you're fine with it? Okay, let's predict the scores here real quick.
Yellow card for time wasting, Brian.
I'm going to go 1-1.
1-1. Our first tie pick. Okay.
Is that you, Murph?
Ralph?
Okay.
I'm thinking.
Okay, Murph's thinking.
Ralph?
Man, it's tough. Those guys are good.
System of a Down.
System of a Down. you guys probably aren't going to hear it on the show, but... oh, shoot. This is tough.
I'm going to go 2-1 Crew while Ralph thinks.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Murph. I'm going to also give the prediction to every game next weekend while Ralph is thinking.
Yeah, my mind's blown. It's tough.
Your life is not on the line.
I got Crew 3-2. You can also change it. 3-2. I got 3-2, Crew 3-2.
Oh, you have a barn burner there, huh?
Yeah.
A little arena football soccer going on there.
Feeling it.
I'm going to go Caleb Porter gets his first win at home. 2-1.
I hope so. I hope I'm
just
wrong.
Hope I'm still upright enough to watch this game at 2 p.m. on Saturday.
What?
St. Patrick's Day in Chicago.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Assuming the Buckeyes don't win.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like you have a complicated weekend, Murph.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Okay. Well, we wish you best of luck. Nothing but best wishes from the Massive Report as we send you off to Chicago for St. Patty's. That sounds like a good place to be for St. Patty's.
It's a great place to be for St. Patty's.
Don't they dye the river green?
They do.
It's so weird.
I've never seen it because, again, you have to be upright to
Don't drink
it.
The river. Mate. All right. Of course, in the Massive Report, we thank 180 Property Development for their sponsorship of our fine program. 180 Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your house from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out the 180propertydevelopment.com website for your next project. Sam, thank you. Let's see. Murph, thank you. Ralph, thank you. Mike, thank you. Bart's already... gone to a rock show.
He's having a beer. That's how he's we got roll his first here. Second beer.
I'm Brian. I work at CD1025. When you get a chance, check out our radio station. I would appreciate it. And of course, check out all of our great Crew content right here at themassivereport.com. Dig in. Do some reading. It's good for you. Read. And join us next week. And of course, we're giving away tickets to the Dallas game as well. Listen, how does it work, Sam? You're going to put up a question about what we've talked about, if you can make any damn sense of anything that we've talked about tonight. And maybe that's the question. Can you make sense of this?
Does Mike like referees, yes or no? That's your question.
That could be a good one. You win tickets to the game and join us at Montfrey Stadium on Saturday for Dallas and your Columbus Crew. Until next week on a Monday when we're back here at Hendox, thank you so much for listening to the Massive Report.